Last week, those of you who were here last Sunday know that we're continuing, let us rise up and build our relationship with God. We're focusing the first part of this year on building our relationship stronger with the Lord. But you know, last week we looked at trouble, you know, the trouble that comes into our lives, the difficulty, the pain, and ways that God uses that for us. What He does with pain and trouble. And I was surprised at the number of people that came and said, "Ken, you know, you preached that message to me, didn't you? You had that message with me in mind, didn't you?" And in a way, yes, that's true. And in a way, no, it's not true. But the truth is, I think all of us relate to pain, trial, trouble, tribulation. It's expected. It's there. Jesus said, don't be surprised. We live in the world. We live in a fallen, tainted, sinful world. Don't be surprised when there's trouble. Don't be surprised by it. But today I want to also speak on a topic that I think touches a lot of hearts. And I've been reminded of that even this week. And that is how God heals our hidden wounds, our hidden sores, our hidden hurts. Have you ever had a broken bone? Ever had a broken bone? Doesn't feel good. You know, I have never had a broken bone. I can't relate. I cannot empathize with you who have had broken bones. But I have had children. Gretchen, our child, she's had a broken bone. Gretchen is our accident-prone child at home. If there's an accident, she's going to do it. And she fell out of bed one day. She fell out of bed one night, broke a bone, broke her arm. Is that the only broken bones that we've had in our family? Okay. How many of you had more than one broken bone at a time? More than one at a time. Congratulations, Daniel. Is he the only one? Daniel's the other accident-prone one in this church. Have you ever had stitches? Stitches where you had to get sewn up. Yeah, okay. I've had stitches a few times. Not so much from accidents, but from operations. Again, our kids have had stitches. We've been to the A&E with Charlie more times than I care to remember. He's our wild child. Gretchen, if Gretchen's our accident-prone child, Charlie's our wild child. And, you know, when he was 3 years old, he did things on a tricycle that most kids don't try to do on their bikes. You know, he was crazy. And so we ended up in the A&E a few times. Stitches. How many have had more than 30 stitches at a time? Congratulations, Daniel. Again, I rest my case. I want to talk to you today, though, about how God heals. Not the external wounds, not the stitches and broken bones, but the hidden hurts, the hidden wounds. Not the physical, but the hidden. As I look back on my friends and my peers that I went to Bible school with, I went to school in the U.S. in Springfield, Missouri, Baptist Bible College. Anybody been there? Okay, there's a few of you I know have, but I don't think they're here with us today. A couple of you have visited. Later this year, Pastor Irwin Santoso is going to be coming here to be with us. Sometime, I think, in May or June. And he went to Baptist Bible College. Who knows Irwin Santoso? Okay, Irwin, he was a part of our church back in 95, 96, 97. He trusted the Lord. God called him to ministry. He went to Springfield, Missouri, and he's been there for some time. He's been working in other churches. But God's called him to come back this way. And so we're very thankful, excited about that. But I look back at some of the guys I went to school with. Large school. When I was at school there was about 1,000 enrollment. Is that right, Jen? Somewhere around there. About 1,000 enrollment. and a couple hundred in my class. But I look back now, and there's very few, if any, in my class that are still in ministry today. And that's a sad statement. I don't say that with great pride. I think that's a sad statement. There are very few in ministry that finished the course and graduated with me in 1992. That's not a good thing. What's going on? A number of things. But I believe from those that I know personally that there have been certain things, certain hidden wounds in their life that they have not healed. They've not allowed God to take away and remove and heal from them, and they have not recovered. And as such, it's taken them, pulled them right out. And God has not used them in ministry like He had called them. This past week, I met with a friend, a pastor. He confided in me. He says, "I'm ready to get out." He's had it. There's wounds in his life, in his heart. That's a shame. What are hidden wounds in your life? Hidden wounds are memories that still hurt, recollections from your past, that when you think about those things, they still continue to cause pain in your life. Memories that you've had from childhood of abandonment, memories of abuse. Where is it that you get the hidden wounds in your life? Where do you get the hidden wounds? They're from all over the place. They're from family, from society, prejudices in society maybe. Those of you, us, who are immigrants, we sometimes understand the feeling of society prejudice at times. You felt that. You do get it from family members, and often they're the ones that hurt the most. I've been a pastor in ministry now for about 17 years. And I've learned two basic things. One is I believe everybody has hidden wounds. Everybody has hidden wounds, at least one. An emotional scar from somebody in the past who hurt you in some serious way. The other thing I've learned is that these emotional scars take a lot longer to heal than physical scars. Emotional scars. The good news is this. Jesus Christ can and wants to heal your hidden wounds too. If you will let Him. If you will let Him. You can start that process this morning. In reading in the Old Testament, passages like Exodus 15, 26, where God says, "I am Jehovah Rapha." We sing a song in church called Jehovah Jireh. How does it go? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Okay, it kind of rhymes. Depends on if you speak American or Kiwi, but it rhymes. It's supposed to. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. How about that one? But Jehovah Rapha means I am the God who heals. I am the physician. Psalm 147, He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. Heals the brokenhearted, binds up their wounds. He's Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He wants to heal you. He wants to heal those hidden scars. He wants to heal those hidden wounds in your life that you've tried to forget about, that you've tried to stuff in. When you look at the life of Jesus, you see that He healed a lot of people, both physically and emotionally. And from even seeing Jesus, I think we can see some principles in God's process of healing those hidden wounds as well. I want to run through some of these processes. And I want you to commit in your heart and your mind to go through this with God, to take these steps, to do this. The first step is this. I reveal my hurt. I show my hurt. You're never going to get well until you face some of these hurts and these wounds head on. I reveal it. Psalm 39. David said, "When I was silent and still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me, and as I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue." He's saying, as I kept silent, as I didn't address this, even then, my anguish increased. My heart burned. It was like carrying coals inside. And when you carry coals close to your heart, you're the one that's going to get burned. Hidden wounds, if you try to stuff them down, they don't heal. They don't heal. As we read through the Psalms and we see David addressing God, and we see David trying to address some of the wounds that he's had, the emotional scars, the emotional wounds that he's had. We see a man who was broken. We see a man who was weary. In some passages it says even his bones ached. He was tired, weary, his bones ached. This is one of the symptoms of wounds that are hidden, that have not been healed. That is that total lack of energy, lack of life. Psalm 32, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." Is there anyone in here like that today? Is there anyone in here with emotional hurts, emotional pains that are not going away? And you feel this way. You don't wake up in the morning and say, "Good morning, Lord." You wake up and say, "Good Lord, it's morning." He's saying it's emotionally draining. Because we live in a sinful world, people abuse other people. I have no doubt that many of you here today have been abused by other people in some fashion, some way. And it's amazing how people respond to this kind of abuse in various ways. Some people respond by just forgetting it. Just trying to forget it. Some people respond by running from it. And there's a lot of ways that people run from this kind of hurt, this kind of pain. Many people turn to alcohol. They get drunk. They run from it. Many people do drugs, sex. They immerse themselves into work. This is running from it. Other people just try to ignore it. Sometimes people just tend to want to blame people. They project outwards to other people all the time and push people away in the process. None of these ways work. This step is about being honest. Honest about your pain, honest about your fear, honest about your anger. Who do you be honest with? Let me give you a few suggestions. Number one, you're honest first with yourself. You own up to things. You say, "This hurts. This has caused me pain." Second, you have to be honest with God. You say, "God, this is how I feel. This is how I feel." Again, you read through Psalms and you read David's pouring his heart out to God at times. And he just let God have it. He poured it all out to Him. And sometimes it wasn't that eloquent, it wasn't that pretty, but He did it. And you know what? God can take it. God can handle it. Again, I've mentioned many times, don't feel like you need to impress God with your prayers. You're not preaching a message to God. That's not the purpose. But pour your heart out to God. Pour your heart out and tell Him how you feel, because He can handle it. And the second amazing thing is, He already knows how you feel anyway. So why try to hide it? The Bible says He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. Why are you trying to hide things from God? Pour out your heart. The third thing that you've got to do is be honest with at least one person that you trust. I don't know, but there's something healing about opening up and being honest with somebody else. The Bible tells us to confess our faults. Confess our faults also to one another. There's something healing about being able to open up and confess to flesh and blood, real person in front of you, who also loves you, who you can trust, and who also loves the Lord, and be able to pour your heart out to them. You need to reveal the hurt. Open up. The second thing also now is, when it comes to our hurt, we need to release those who've hurt me. Release those who've hurt me. You cannot get well as long as you are harboring resentment inside. For your own sake, you need to let go of the right to get even with somebody. One of the most difficult decisions that you've got to decide on is, do I want to get well? Do I want to recover from something? Or do I want to get even? Because you can't do both. And there's a little secret I want to share with you, and that is, getting even doesn't take away the pain either. It's not like there are two paths to healing. You get even, or you let them go and you forgive. They're not two paths. There's only one. And if you take the path of trying to get even, it doesn't take away the pain. It doesn't solve anything. You don't get back at the person who hurt you. There's only one way to solve the problem, and that is through one word. It's called forgiveness. You say, they don't deserve to be forgiven. I didn't say they deserve to be forgiven. You are right. They don't deserve to be forgiven. But the truth is this, I didn't deserve to be forgiven either when Jesus Christ forgave me. And when we understand, when we begin to understand forgiveness and God's kind of forgiveness, we're better able to understand the kind of forgiveness that we're to give to people as well who don't deserve it. I'm not saying forgive them because they deserve it. I'm saying forgive them also for your sake so that you can heal, so that God can truly heal you. I read of a study Time magazine did. They said giving up the grudge can be good for your health. Researchers are pioneering a new science of redemption based on the old form of grace. Well, that's news for you, isn't it? God already said to do this. And now the scientists are getting smart and catching up with some things. Romans 12:17 says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Don't do it. Don't try to get even. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Verse 19, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. And we forget this often. We think it's our job to be God. We want to play the role of avenging, of revenge. The reason sometimes we hold on to hurt and resentment is because we think, I have to remember this. Because if I forgive and if I forget this, they're going to get away with it. Somebody's going to get away with it. But that's not the way it works. First of all, judgment belongs to God, not us. God sees. Nobody gets away with anything. God sees. That's why Jesus came to die for us. I have sinned. I have failed. I have hurt people. You have too. And so Jesus Christ had to be able to forgive you. To be able to say justice has been served. But God will have justice. God will have justice. And He tells you to forgive. Leave everything else up to Him. Judgment's up to Him. If you get to heaven and you see some people and you're surprised to see them there because they hurt you so bad, what are you doing in heaven? Hey, realize God's justice is served. God's justice is served. And if God has forgiven them, and His justice was served through Jesus Christ, praise the Lord for that. Jesus understands abuse. He was abused. I suggest that we do what Jesus did as well. 1 Peter 2 says, when they hurled their insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. Jesus Christ understood abuse. I read something recently that said Jesus had 6 wounds before He died. A head wound from the crown of thorns on His head. A face wound from being beaten. From having His beard plucked from His face. He had a back wound from the beating and the whipping that He took before His death. He had hand wounds from the nails that nailed Him to the cross. He had feet wounds that held Him in place with a nail. And He had a side wound where they stuck a spear in His side. But Jesus also knew what it was like to have the emotional wounds. He knew betrayal. When Judas betrayed Him, gave Him a kiss on the cheek as a sign of betrayal. He knew abuse. He knew what it was like to be mocked, ridiculed, falsely accused. He knew what it was like to have rejection. He knew what hatred was like and to have hatred directed toward Him. He knew these things. He knew injustice. So why should you forgive people who have hurt you? Number one, because you have been forgiven. Because God has forgiven you. Do you understand that? Do you understand how immensely important it is to realize, I don't deserve to be forgiven, but God forgives me anyway. Therefore, how can I withhold my forgiveness from other people? You can't. First of all, God's forgiven you. Second, you're going to need forgiveness in the future. Do I hear amens? I don't hear very many. You're going to need forgiveness in the future. Why? Because you're a person and because you are going to do something stupid and you're going to hurt somebody else and you're going to need forgiveness. Our relationships as believers are very important to the point that Jesus said, if you come and you're bringing an offering to God, and there you remember that you have something against somebody else, stop what you're doing, go and make your relationship right first, and then come and worship God. Pretty important. Pretty important. But you're going to need forgiveness in the future. Number three, forgiveness is the only way that you get well. You hang on to resentment. You hang on to bitterness and you're just playing with a cancer and it eats away at you and it destroys your life. And you begin waking up in the morning saying, my bones are hurting too and I'm groaning inside of me. Don't do it. Don't do it. Another thing, I believe that bitterness is something that can be passed down from generation to generation. Bitterness is something that can be passed down. You hang on to your bitterness and your anger, your resentment, your emotional scars that have not healed, your emotional hurts that have not healed. I believe that you can pass this down to your family as well. I've seen it. It's not very good. It's not pretty. Deal with it. Break the cycle of resentment. Break the cycle of anger. Break it in your family. You can do it. But if you hang on to it, your kids are going to learn, they're going to watch, they're going to carry on the same things that you are. Don't do it. Point number three. Step number three. First of all, you got to own it. Second, release those who hurt me. Number three, replace old tapes with God's truths. Old tapes with God's truths. Your brain's like a tape recorder. A tape recorder. It records everything. That means the good things, the bad things. It records it. Your brain is amazing. It's all right there. Whether it's true, whether it's false, it's recorded in here. Here's the problem. Your brain doesn't always distinguish between what is true and what is false. It doesn't always distinguish. I remember one time when I was a young child, my mother came home with a vegetable called an eggplant. You like eggplant? It's a purple, big, round, shiny vegetable. I love eggplant today. I didn't used to like eggplant, but I love eggplant, especially Malaysian eggplant. Spicy a little bit, you know. Oh, it's beautiful. I love eggplant, but I never saw an eggplant at this time. And I was asking at the table, where do eggplants come from? Where do eggplants come from? And without thinking, my dad tells me, oh, Ken, they grow in the bottom of the ocean. And nobody corrected that. To this day, I don't know why Mom didn't say, oh, John, you know that's not true. They grow here, you know, in the garden. Nobody corrected that. And so I went for years and years and years until last week, thinking that eggplants grew in the bottom of the ocean. It was in my brain. It was recorded down. And I'm sure in your mind you can think of similar things. It cracks me up to hear, some kids misunderstanding some of the songs that we as Christians sing. Have you ever seen those lists? I had a couple of misunderstandings. You know that old song, Just a Little Talk with Jesus? I had thought it had said, Just a Little Chocolate Jesus. Just a Little Chocolate Jesus makes it right, you know? There were a few other songs that, you know, the words were totally messed up, but they were recorded in my mind that way. And it's not until you get a little older and things start clicking and making some sense, and you realize the truth, and you realize eggplants don't grow in the ocean. But some of you are still operating on faulty data, operating on the old tapes, perhaps, that play in your mind. And you've not done what the Bible says in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've not been transformed yet by the renewing. How does God change us? How does He transform us? Our message of this church is transforming lives through Christ's message of... We need to go over that. Through Christ's message of forgiveness, purpose, and hope. Transforming lives. How does He transform us? By changing our minds. By changing how we think. First of all, you need to pray and say, God, would You heal my memories? God, would You heal my hurts, my emotional wounds? Second, you need to begin to fill your mind with God's Word, the Bible. Begin filling your mind with this. And third, you need to believe the truth about you. What is the truth about you anyway? There's lots of truth in here. This is why we study this book so much. There's lots of truth about you in here. What God has done for you. And I need to replay, change some of the old tapes and replace them with new ones in my life. I'm a new creation in Christ. I am redeemed. I am bought with the blood of Christ. I am a child of God. I am a brother in Christ. I am a joint heir with Christ. I'm a new creation. This is what God says about me. And sometimes those old tapes are telling you the opposite. You're no good. You're lousy. You're a rat bag. I have seen, psychologist stuff prove over and over again that the way you see yourself is largely determined by what the most important person in your life thinks about you. And so if your husband thinks you're worth dirt, that's often going to be the way you see yourself. If your wife thinks you're dirt, that's probably going to be the way you see yourself. But who's the most important person in your life? Who are you listening to the most? I tell you what, God thinks the world of you. God loves you so much, the expression goes that He stretched out His arms and He died for you. He says, I love you this much. This is what God thinks about you. Replace the old tapes with God's truths. God loves you. He died for you to let you have a new life, be a new creation, to be born again, have eternal life. By the way, do you have that? You who are sitting here with me this morning, do you have that? Do you have eternal life? Do you know that? Have you made that conscious step of faith and that decision to receive the eternal life that God offers? Because it's there, but not everyone has it. You have to receive it. It's a free gift, but like a gift, you have to take it. Have you done that yet? I venture to say, in a group with this many people, there are some who have not done that. Many of you have, I know it. And maybe you need to replace the old tapes in your life with the new ones as well. But some of you haven't taken the first step. Soon I'm going to ask you to take that step. Take that step and come. Talk with somebody. Pray with somebody. And let's get this settled this morning. Let's get it settled in your life. Number four is this. Refocus on the future. Get your attention off your past onto God's plan for your future. In this church, we have a program called Celebrate Recovery. It runs every Thursday night. And it's a fantastic recovery program. And I think a lot of people think Celebrate Recovery must be for the really hard cases, only the basket cases who, you know, need to be locked away. They're the ones, you know, Celebrate Recovery might be okay for the alcoholics and druggies, but hey, I'm not an alcoholic and druggie. That's not so. Celebrate Recovery is for people who have hurts. That means it's, you know, even for you. It's even for you. But one of the things I love about Celebrate Recovery, well, it's Bible-based, first of all. It's based on the eight Beatitudes of Jesus Christ. Also, it focuses on a conversion experience. In other words, people bringing them, coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But three, it also happens in the context of other people, which I think is important. I think it's important to be with other people as we work through some things in our Christian life and our Christian walk. Again, confessing our faults one to another. Realizing, I'm not perfect, I don't have to pretend to be. In Celebrate Recovery, nobody pretends to be perfect. In fact, when we speak, we address ourselves as with our names and also the thing that we are recovering from. Everyone is in recovery. Number four, though, it's focused on the future. It's focused on the future. Being able to admit, yes, I've blown it. Yes, I've been hurt, whatever the case may be. But now, let's focus forward and let's do this. It's future focused. There are a few steps to focusing on our future. In Job 11, in Celebrate Recovery, we've seen this before. In the book of Job, chapter 11, verse 13. If you devote your heart to Him and stretch out your hands to Him. If you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then you will lift up your face without shame. You will stand firm and without fear. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. Would some of you like to recall your troubles as water gone by? Three things. First off, stretch out your hands to Him. Stretch out your hands. First, you need to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. You need to ask Him to begin healing those hidden wounds inside. Ask Him to start bringing good out of the evil that has happened to you. Here's the real issue, though. Do you really want to get well? If you do, you need to stop focusing on the hurt. Start focusing on the person who can heal you. Look in the future. The second thing is, says, allow no evil to dwell in your tent. Allow no evil to dwell in your tent. Put away the sin in your hand. Allow no evil to dwell in your tent. It means we need to allow God to clean up our lives, take away the filth, the sin that we have allowed. But I believe it also means in not allowing evil to dwell in your tent. It means giving up the right to get even. It means releasing those who hurt you. Not harboring onto anger and hate and bitterness. Forgive them whether they deserve it or not. And third, lift up your face without shame. Don't withdraw. You don't pull yourself back into a shell. I don't know why, but as humans, often when we face emotional hurt, when we face depression or whatever it may be, one of the first reactions is to withdraw. We withdraw from people. We withdraw from our church family or our life group. We withdraw from people in general. And that's one of the worst things that you can do. That's one of the... You're not going to get well just on your own. Sometimes you get deeper and deeper on your own without a friend there to say, hey, let me help you up. Let me help you up. Resume living. Stop saying, I'm just a victim. And start being able to say, I'm not a victim any longer. I'm moving on. I'm looking ahead. If you do these steps, you know, what Job says will happen is you will stand firm without fear. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as water gone by. When people hurt deeply, sometimes they do most anything to try to stop the hurt. They get stoned, they get drunk, they find pills. Sometimes people do destructive, hurtful things to their own selves. When you're hurting, though, what do you do? What do you do? I want to suggest relief is found in Jesus. I am Jehovah Rapha, which means the God who heals. Step 5, reach out to help others. If you're not at step 5, I don't think you've healed yet. I've shared with you before some of my troubles as a teenager. One of them was going through a 3-year period of having anorexia myself. It was the worst time that I've had. The most awful time. Yes, I got help. Yes, I entered the road of recovery. As you know, I mean, I don't look anorexic today. Amen. But I want you to know that it was years and years and years, even after that, that I still couldn't use my experience to reach out to other people. I didn't want to talk about that. It wasn't healed. You know, what God wants to use in your life the most is often some of the most painful things that you have. The things that God wants to use in your life are often the ones that are most difficult to talk about. You don't want to go there. You don't want to talk about them. You haven't let God heal them yet then. Because it's often those very same things that He knows can be used to help somebody else. He wants to take those hurts, turn them around for good. He doesn't want to waste a single experience, a single hurt. Don't waste them. Yes, they hurt. They're awful. They're terrible. But who better to help hurting people than someone who's been there? Who better to help somebody through relationship problem or a divorce than somebody who's been there? Who better to help somebody who's had trouble with their children than somebody who's also experienced trouble with theirs? Who better to help somebody who's recovered from anorexia or who is recovering than somebody who has already healed from that? In other words, I'm not saying go out and find as many problems as you can get yourself into and get into them so that you can help everybody. But what I am saying is don't waste any single hurt that God can use. Don't waste any single hurt in your life, the things that you've gone through. Young people, stay out of trouble. I'm not giving you permission to help people by getting in lots of trouble. No. You can help other young people by being an example, for one thing, of godliness, even in young people. Saying, guys, I can do it, you can do it too. Have that kind of leadership, that kind of influence. Hey, not everybody's sleeping around. I'm not. You can too. Not everybody's going partying and doing drugs and alcohol. I'm not. Be an example. You can do that. Reaching out to help others. Using your experiences. He can use your pain for good. My final scripture, 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. What he's saying here is you're not just comforted, you're not just saved, you're not just healed to sit back and enjoy your comfort and healing. He says you're to do it to others. The same comfort, the same healing, the same that you've received, you give out to others. You do it for other people. Some of you have stepped across the line. You've accepted Christ in your heart, but you haven't revealed your hurt. You haven't released people who have hurt you. You're hanging on to something. You haven't replaced the old tapes with new tapes. And you're still believing a lot of lies. You're still living in your old life, even though God has given you power to have a new life. You need to take some steps today. Where are you? Where are you in this? Have you begun these steps? Have you allowed God to completely heal the hidden wounds in your life? You can begin today. And I urge you to begin today. Please, if God has something on your heart right now and you know it, don't just leave here. Respond today. When the singers sing, when the music is playing, that's your time to do something, to respond to God. Whether it's beginning by just revealing your hurt to Him, whether it's forgiving somebody, whether it's releasing somebody, whether it's taking some of these other steps. But don't leave. Don't ignore God, the Holy Spirit, working inside your heart. Some of you need to take that first step. You need to cross the line. You've been coming, you've been listening, you've been hearing, but it's always at a distance. You need to cross the line. And you need to accept for yourself the salvation of Jesus. You need to say, He died for me, not for them. He died for me to forgive my sin, to give me eternal life, to give me a new life. Please stand with me. What is God putting on your heart? What does He put in your heart? Is there something in your heart that He's saying, I want you to address this morning, I want you to deal with? Don't leave without dealing with it. If you do, it like hardens your heart just a little bit more. And next time, your heart is just a little harder. And it's that much easier to reject God, to say, no, I'm going to do things my way still. It's that much easier. And before you know it, if you keep doing that, you stop hearing God. You stop hearing Him. And so what I'm telling you today is, if God is definitely speaking in your heart and He's pulling you, He's drawing you, He's drawing you to salvation, or He's drawing you to some confession, or to forgiveness, or to a move of some kind, I'm urging you to not push Him off. Keep your heart sensitive. Keep your heart soft. Keep your heart in tune with Him. Listen to the Spirit. Respond to the Spirit. Don't harden your heart. Father in heaven, I pray that we would give You total freedom in our hearts. Give us the courage to open ourselves up before You bare and reveal perhaps our innermost hurts, our hidden wounds that have not healed. And I pray, God, that we would respond to You today. That we would allow that to be healed. And that You, Jehovah Rapha, the great physician, would be free to begin the healing process. And let us be in cooperation with You as You do that. Lord, let us not hang on to anger, bitterness, hatred. Let us get rid of it like a cancer. Lord, I pray for salvation for those who need to be saved this morning. They know who they are. I pray that they would respond, not harden themselves any longer, but give in to You. In Jesus' name, amen.